Trading at Schwab is now powered by Ameritrade, giving you even more specialized support than ever before. Like access to the trade desk, our team of passionate traders ready to tackle anything from the most complex trading questions to a simple strategy gut check. Need assistance? No problem. Get 24/7 professional answers and live help and access support by phone, email, and in-platform chat. That's how Schwab is here for you to help you trade brilliantly. Learn more at schwab.com/trading.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, we will be hearing from Sarah Carey, columnist with the Irish Independent, Dan O'Brien, chief economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs, and Professor Gary Murphy, professor of politics at the School of Law and Government in DCU over the next while. But I'm going to start with Donal McConnell, the editor of the Business Post, because today's resignation of Pascal Donoghue as Minister for Finance, after plenty of speculation over the last couple of years that he was looking to a potential job outside of Irish politics, still, despite that, how much of a shock was it when his resignation came this morning?
I think it's an element of surprise as opposed to shock. I think the surprise is that the timing of it more than anything else. He had only just gone for a third term of the Eurogroup as President of the Eurogroup. We're only a year into this particular dull term. The natural point that people might have thought he might have jumped was the changeover in 2027 when, you know, Simon Harris is due to become Taoiseach again and Micheál Martin is to step out. That's a natural midpoint of the term that you might think, okay, listen, he's done his stint. He is now the longest standing minister at the cabinet table back there. So he's been at cabinet since 2014. He's been a minister since 2013. He rose very quickly through the Dáil ranks. And very interestingly, he rose despite not backing Enda Kenny in the heave in 2010. He had backed Richard Bruton. But I think he had pitched himself very much through that those dark years of the financial crash as a competent backbencher who could go out and sell the government messages on tough shows like this, on Vincent Brown's TV3 show, which I think was required viewing at the time, and been able to sell in really palatable terms very difficult messaging to the public. He's built up a great stock of credibility in terms of his fiscal rectitude. And I think, I mean, he built his reputation, particularly in his early time as finance and public expenditure minister, as, you know, prudent Pascal. I think we've been on the show many some time talking about that. That reputation has sort of taken a hit since COVID, because I think public spending has grown quite exceptionally, and he's come under significant pressure from the likes of the Irish Fiscal Council. But he did, like, when you take a step back, he has taken an economy and a budget process that was running successive deficits to one that is now running continuous surplus. So he has done the state some service by transitioning and moving the country. Unlike a Bertie Ahern or a Brian Cowan or even a Brian Lenehan, you know, where, you know, 2 years on, his reputation may unravel because of things that are lurking under the, you know, lurking under the surface. That's unlikely in Pascal Donoghue. He has the economy on a stable footing. There are obviously critics in how he's done things, but he is, without question, the key heavyweight intellectual who's now leaving the government ranks.
Indeed, we've had big resignations in this century. You mentioned Bertie Ahern. He went in 2008. Leo Varadkar shocked us all in 2023 by deciding to go. But have we had a situation where a minister would just say, well, look, actually, I'm off because I've got another job to go to?
It's unusual in this sort of circumstances. Like, I mean, the only other circumstance you can think of is, say, a Phil Hogan leaving or Michael McGrath leaving to go become a European Commissioner. Like, I mean, it's not like, I don't remember another circumstance where a minister has left to go to a big private sector job or anything like that. So it is an unusual circumstance or a recurrence. But I do think, you know, if you were Pascal Donoghue, Fine Gael have been in power since 2011. They're hardly likely to be going in for a fifth term of office after the next general election. So you're heading into primarily going into an opposition. He's now 51. Would he really look to stay, or would he have looked to stay in opposition politics in the Dáil, having been in government for the majority of his career in national politics? He obviously said no. He is clearly well regarded, not just domestically but internationally. You know, he's going in as the number two in the World Bank. It's a job that carries a salary of about €600,000 a year, tax free. That's a significant amount of money. It's a substantial. It's about three times the amount of money he's getting paid, which, you know, at the moment, and he's been taxed on that. So this is a life-changing move for Pascal Donoghue. But I would think from, there could be very few people saying that he hasn't done the state some service and deserves a chance to go off and pursue a career outside of politics here.
Okay, Sarah Carey, columnist for the Irish Independent, somebody who has been involved over the years within Fine Gael. Where does this leave the Fine Gael party? Because if you think back in all his time of government since 2011, it had a whole series of heavyweight figures then in the likes of Enda Kenny, Michael Noonan, Richard Bruton, maybe even Phil Hogan. Then it went to Leo Varadkar, Simon Coveney, Pascal Donoghue. But where are you now? Simon Harris... And who, as a sort of serious heavyweight political figures in Fine Gael?
Yeah, there is a worry around there being a brain drain, you know, on that heavyweight drain as well. Matt, you're right about that. And I think what's more impactful, maybe the change of tone, apart from intellectual heft. So what Pascal had was this naturally collaborative style. So he was able to get on with people like Michael McGrath, Jack Chambers, and it's why he was such a success in the Eurogroup and, you know, and why he's qualified for this job. And Simon Harris doesn't have that same kind of style. Like, he's all gone for picking fights, and he's obviously a bit sensitive and insecure about Fianna Fáil. So I think that would be the first issue that I'd like to, you know, if I was given advice to Simon Harris, is say, okay, settle down, don't be picking fights, and follow that collaborative style. Helen McEntee is now back in Foreign Affairs and Defence. She did not have a good time in Justice, so this is putting her back into the spotlight, into a heavyweight role. Has she learned her lessons? Is she ready for it this time? We're going to find out. So it does weaken them. On the other hand, Matt, you know, I think this was on the cards conceptually for a long time. And, you know, there was always talk that actually Pascal didn't want to run in the last election. He was persuaded to stay on. So they have had time to plan for this. And the question is, have they, and are the replacements ready to step up? And I hope they are.
But does Simon Harris have the correct credentials to be a minister for finance, Sarah? He has no background. No, it's not a case that every Minister for Finance, indeed Jack Chambers, didn't have it when he became Minister for Finance, but could it be an issue for him?
I don't think it's a question so much of as technical qualification as tone. And is he willing to, you know, make hard decisions? Is he willing to say no? Everything in his style to date says no, because we know that he's the kind of leader and as a minister follows the TikTok 24-hour news cycle. You know, can he have that sense of calm that Pascal did when people would be panicking about everything? He was the one that was rolled out, you know, to settle everybody down. He has to learn that. And if he doesn't learn that, then the answer to your question is no. And if he can grow up fast, well, then the answer will be yes. We just have to wait and see. I don't know is my answer right now.
Anya Mayo asks, will Simon Harris give up the Ministry of Finance when he becomes Taoiseach in 2027? Yes, he will, Anya. That's part of the deal between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It would be then, when he becomes Taoiseach, a Fianna Fáil person who would become the Minister for Finance. Professor Gary Murphy, also columnist with the Irish edition of the Sunday Times. What do you reckon will Fianna Fáil make of this? Will they be concerned about having Simon Harris in the Department of Finance instead of Pascal Donoghue?
I doubt it, Matt. I think government will just move on as normal. And much as I admire and respect Pascal Donoghue, he will soon become yesterday's man politically, and life will go on as it went on when Leo Varadkar left. You just mentioned him going in March of 2023, and it was, or 2024, excuse me, it was an enormous shock. But life goes on. And I think Pascal Donoghue was an important sort of glue within the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael sort of dichotomy, keeping it together. He certainly got on well with Michael McGrath, and I think also with Jack Chambers, but certainly when McGrath and Donoghue were at the axis of public expenditure and finance, it was a pretty substantial duo who seemed to have the same sort of thought process. So my expectation is that life goes on, and the power within finance will probably remain within the department. And again, for all Pascal Donoghue's strengths as a politician, I think most ministers, finance, are slaves to the civil servants in there, and I don't expect too much change. So, I for instance, I couldn't imagine that when we discuss the budget on your show, whenever it will be next October or so, Matt, that there will be any substantial changes in either tone or substance. So,
might he not be, to protect his own position as leader of Fine Gael, perhaps be a bit more populist in his approach, that he might look to have tax cuts and other measures that will increase his personal as well as Fine Gael's popularity?
He might be tempted to do that, but I mean, there's no evidence that this has had any success for Fine Gael over the course of the last half a decade, in particular, where their poll numbers keep going down, whether they have elastic expansionist budgets or tight reigning ones, Matt. So in that context, and I slightly disagree with Danny in terms of the fact that Fine Gael will automatically be out of power after the next election. In one way, if the numbers remain much the same as they are now, you could see a return of this government. Now that's 4 years down the line, or maybe more, maybe less, actually. I think there's a chance that not in the next 2 years, but that the government will end earlier. But my sense of this is that Simon Harris will take most of his advice from his civil service. Now, the unusual thing is, for the first time, we have a Minister for Finance also leading a party at the same time, and we have to wait and see, will the rejuvenation of the party, which he has sworn himself to, will get in the way of what is almost a 24-7 job.
Oh yeah, but hang on. Isn't the Department of Finance perhaps one of the best positions to have Minister for Finance if you want to spend time doing things as a party leader, given that it's intensely busier on budget time, but tends to be a bit slacker in the rest of the year? And at least it also means that he's going to be at home all the time instead of jollying around the world as Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Yeah, I mean, certainly on foreign affairs, I think there's a sort of there seems to be a rule that, you know, if you're a Taoiseach, you must be Minister for Foreign Affairs as well, or leader of the minor party. Micheál Martin did the same. But I tend to think being at home is probably better if you are a leader of the party. But again, I slightly disagree, Matt, that it's a bit quieter beyond the budget. I think there is a, you know, it's a job that, it seems to me, you need to have your political antenna and your sort of fiscal antenna tuned in from the off. But you know, and your point about Fine Gael being a bit lightweight, certainly it is, but it also needs to just move on with it. And I think it's incumbent on people like Helen Mackey, you know, in Foreign Affairs, Patrick O'Donovan, Peter Burke, to actually, you know, be a bit more proactive and a bit more public-facing in relation to what they're trying to do, and sell a message that Fine Gael has been pretty woeful at over the course of the last, well, since Simon Harris took over, but also under Leo Varadkar as well, I would say.
Dan O'Brien, Prudent Praskal was his nickname. Did he warrant that?
That was something of an exaggeration, Matt. Well, you know, he was clearly lucky in how things panned out while he was in the Department of Finance and the Department of Public Expenditure, in that the economy ran very well. Now, of course, you know, you can't say that ministers who preside over that can take no credit. So he clearly will has to take some credit for the stewardship of the economy and the public finances over a period where they've done very well. The one area, and not to, you know, the fact that he became president of the Eurogroup three times, I think says something about his standing with his Eurozone colleagues. If there is a sort of significant criticism, it would be that not nearly enough of the windfall corporation tax revenues were saved. That would be, to my mind, the thing that would take away from that sort of prudent reputation.
How much of that was due to the money that had to be spent during COVID, and then perhaps the difficulty in restoring things to the way they were before COVID?
Well, that was certainly part of it, and many other countries around Europe. In fact, the vast majority of countries now are in very difficult fiscal positions. There's a lot of austerity going on in many countries. We in Ireland have been very fortunate not to have faced that over the past decade. And again, you know, you've got to give some credit to the person who was running public finances for that period. So he does deserve some credit, and you know, we came through not just COVID, but we've had a period of inflation that we haven't had in 40 years. We've had the fastest increase in interest rates in monetary history in recent years, and the economy has remained resilient, and you know, the public finances are in surplus. Of course, there's this risk of concentration around corporation tax, but so far, so good, and it doesn't look as though anything is going to, you know, upend that in the foreseeable future.
Dan, is there any benefit to Ireland in him having this job with the World Bank?
Well, that's a good question. And it's also the question of how much does Ireland benefit from having, from him being chair or president of the Eurogroup. I sometimes wonder, you know, when somebody has jobs like that, well, certainly in the Eurogroup, does that mean they have less time to focus on Ireland's very specific interests, and do they have to take a more of a chairing role where they have to see compromise? So even with the Eurogroup presidency, I don't really see, you know, that there's some prestige, and certainly for him it was a very prestigious thing to be to have for 3 years. But in terms of the World Bank, you know, this is not, you know, there are many managing directors of the World Bank. If you look at the organizational structure of it, there's a lot of people with a title managing director in their title. What the World Bank has said is, as Chief Knowledge Officer, Donoghue will lead on shaping, managing and leveraging the institution's knowledge bank. Now, that is a little sort of less grand than the sounding like the managing director. And certainly, you know, in the World Bank system, you know, it's good to have people, the nationals in different jobs, but the benefit for Ireland would be marginal.
Okay. Sarah Carey, I understand that you know a little bit more than many people about the World Bank.
Yes, my brother works there. He's the lead economist for the Middle East and North African countries. So there'll be one friendly face for Pascal when he arrives at work on Monday. And as a result, I follow the work of the bank and the whole kind of geoeconomic and geopolitical sphere that it operates in. So just for listeners, the IMF, we all know, you know, it promotes global financial stability and it usually gives loans to countries in crisis, you know, on a short-term basis, whereas the bank is more focused on underdeveloped countries and its loans are more long-term and it's focused on poverty reduction and economic development. But this knowledge part that Pascal has been appointed to is actually quite a big deal because they have a large group of member countries that don't necessarily need bank financing. So they're not actually poor countries, but they are trying to develop their economies. So you'd have, you know, like the oil-based economies like Saudi and all of those where they kind of almost hire the bank on a, like a consulting basis. And then the other interesting thing that I noticed in the press release is how many times it mentions the private sector. So it talks about his private sector experience. It talks about the release of private capital and private clients. So the bank is expanding and doing different things in a different way. And he's going to be at the center of that. So it is quite a big deal for him and for the bank, this job.
Let's hear a little bit of Pascal Donoghue making the announcement of his resignation earlier today.
I have served in four different governments since July 14, 2014, with much of this time as Minister for Finance and Minister for Public Expenditure. In these offices, my aim has been to build a better and fairer Ireland through careful management of our economy and our public finances. I have done my utmost to discharge this duty in the long-term interests of our people. And the opportunity has now presented itself for me to further contribute to this cooperation at a different level. I will soon be taking up the role of Managing Director and Chief Knowledge Officer of the World Bank Group based in Washington, D.C. I am therefore departing from public life in Ireland. I have informed my party leader and Taoiseach, Simon Harris TD, of my intention to resign as Minister for Finance effective from today, and I will also tender my resignation to Dáil Éireann later this week.
Remember, two years ago, Pascal Donoghue has always done every year the non-fiction books of the year with Lise Hand, and there were rumours of him going to the IMF, and Lise handed him a book as to the best sites in New York if he was going to live there. Of course, he didn't get that job, but last year she handed him the book on Washington, D.C., so he will get use of that now. Daniel McConnell, you mentioned off-air to me about the fact that he's going, Michael McGrath became commissioner last year, that there's an awful lot of experience gone out of cabinet because of that. And I wonder, could that actually be to Micheál Martin's advantage as he staves off rumblings within Fianna Fáil that he'll be able to say, look, there's a lot of experience been lost from this cabinet. You can't be doing without me now as well.
Yes and no. I think yes, because I think they could argue that they need to just batten down the hatches and try and stabilise things across the board. Any change within a government, particularly at the core like this, can have a destabilising impact. And I do think the loss of both Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue have robbed this government, essentially because it's the same as the previous government minus the Greens, of the intellectual heavyweight. Both Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue were quite intellectual, and I say quite, that sounds quite damning, but they actually were intellectual individuals. They were very thoughtful, both very academically bright, and both, I think, are worthy of their positions above national politics, and I think you'd wish them both well. But there is a problem now for this government. This is a government that has not gotten off to a very good start. You know, it's been bedeviled by internal rancor. It's obviously had the speaking row, the Michael Lowry issue, which we discussed on the Path to Power Park with John Lee last week. You know, it has just been bedeviled by getting in its own way. Removal of Pascal Donoghue, like, let's just think back through Brexit, through COVID-19, through the cost of living crisis, that axis of Michael McGrath, Pascal Donoghue, Jack Chambers has been the rock or the glue that has kept these coalitions together. You know, there may have been fraying around the side or aggro, you know, kind of beyond the cabinet, but at that core, that axis has been really, really important. Where you've had a quartet up to this point, you now will have a three-person dynamic, 2-1 in favour of Fianna Fáil, because essentially the Fine Gael leader is doubling as leader and finance minister. That changes the dynamic, and that could lead to trouble.
Okay, just a couple of other things to finish. Gary Murphy, what about the other appointments in cabinet as a result of this? Helen McEntee has been in education for less than a year as deputy leader of Fine Gael. She has been moved to replace Simon Harris as Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence. And Hildegard Nocton steps up, and she has in the last hour received her seal of office as Minister of Education from fellow Galway woman, President Catherine Connolly. What difference, if any, will those changes make to the cabinet?
Well, on Helen McEntee, she had a very difficult time in just... She has been pretty much of a non-entity in relation to education. At least I can't think of anything that has been done over the course of the last year except appoint a commission. But she did quite a good job, Matt, I think, as Minister for State in European Affairs during the whole Brexit crisis, and was a very cool voice on the international airwaves and apparently at various meetings at European level. So I would have some hope that it might be a second flourishing for Helen McEntee. And on Hildegard Nocton, I mean, she is often sent out to bat for the government and has a style a bit like Pascal, sort of low-key but determined. And perhaps she could have been in cabinet this time last year or in January when the new government was appointed, and she is probably the next person in line in Fine Gael anyway. So I tend to have hopes, I think, Matt, would be my normal view when someone comes into office, that they will not simply just be led by their civil servants but will have some ideas. So perhaps more hope than not on a bad day for Fine Gael.
Okay, and just to finish with you, Dan O'Brien, and this echoes a question I asked earlier, but just to get your opinion on this, does it matter that Simon Harris has no background in economics or accounting or finance or business, that having dropped out of college, he has been a lifelong politician? Does that actually cause issues when you become Minister for Finance?
Well, it's certainly not a plus. Clearly, the more experience you have in those sort of areas, the easier it'll be to hit the ground running, get a sense for the whole thing. So it's certainly not a plus. But on the other hand, you know, I'm sure there have been finance ministers in the past who've done well despite not having those backgrounds. So not a plus, but doesn't set him up for failure.
Okay, I think Ray McSherry most famously was the Minister for Finance who didn't have any background like that and probably was regarded in years afterwards as having been a success, although obviously there would be many who would argue with that as well. Thank you very much, Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist, Institute of International and European Affairs, Professor Gary Murphy from DCU, Sarah Carey, columnist for the Irish Independent, and Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.